Today's first lesson is from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Our second lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as many of you know, Chip and I have been away a lot this summer. In fact, Chip is in Houston, Texas right now visiting family. But our big trip this summer was a southwestern adventure to the Grand Circle of National Parks in Arizona, Colorado, and southern Utah. Our family was on the road for 4 weeks, a whole month. Definitely the longest we'd ever been away from our cats, and the longest our kids had ever been away from their friends. Along the way, we traveled over 6,000 miles by plane, car, river raft, and our own 2 feet. We hiked or walked over 100 miles of that big number. We stayed in 4 hotels, 1 cramped RV camper, 1 Vrbo, and 5 Airbnbs. We prepared food in 8 different kitchens and 8 meals from at least 45 different restaurants and cafes, including some of the best donuts, Mexican food, and artisanal ice cream I've ever had. We explored 7 national parks, 4 national monuments, 2 state parks, 5 museums, 2 dams, and a wildlife refuge. We saw ancient 2,000-year-old trees, lots of lizards and hummingbirds, breathtaking canyons and waterfalls and rainbows, and more mountains and deserts than I've ever seen before in my life. We just got home last Saturday. Even though a part of me didn't want the trip to end, I did feel a sense of relief, anticipation, and joy walking through the front door last Saturday night. Seeing the cats again, seeing all the familiar furnishings and comforts of home, it reminded me of those immortal words of the 19th century actor, poet, and songwriter John Howard Payne, "Mid pleasures and palaces though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. A charm from the sky seems to hallow us there, which seek through the world is ne'er met with elsewhere. Home, sweet home, there's no place like home." We find that same feeling of homecoming in our first lesson this morning. Here, the psalmist is not simply talking about coming back to his or her own home, but to God's home, the temple in Jerusalem, the place where Jews believed that God's very presence dwelled. Regardless of where they lived, Jewish faith at that time involved regular pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem to offer worship and sacrifices, to celebrate holidays and festivals in God's house. One commentator explains this psalm this way: "An unknown worshiper has entered the open-air courtyards that make up the bulk of the temple precinct, which was built by King Solomon atop Mount Zion. In a special spot chosen by his father David, the highest and most heavily defended point in the ancient city of Jerusalem. The worshiper has left the densely populated city behind and below and has stepped into another world, a world intended through its serene beauty, solemn rituals, and sacred teachings to offer an alternative to the casual brutality of business as usual in the world of daily living. The worshiper longs for the peace, the beauty, and the righteous way of life represented by the temple devoted to Israel's God, and probably through a lifetime of regular worship has come to feel more at home in that sacred space than anywhere else on earth." The words of the psalmist are full of joy and wonder and gratitude for the deep sense of belonging and homecoming that he or she has found in the temple. These same feelings are evoked in any of us who read or sing or pray this psalm. Even if we cannot be physically there in the temple, we recognize and we understand this feeling of peace and comfort and security, of all being as it should be, of finally being at home with God. Pilgrims and people of faith throughout the ages have been on this sacred journey home to the source and center of our lives. I think this is something that most of us have been longing for over the past 18 months as well, especially as we have had to move so much of our faith lives online. What few opportunities there have been to come back to church, to go come into or even worship in the sanctuary, have provoked many similar responses to what the psalmist said. When people come into the church here, whether it's to sing or just look around at what's going on, they often say, "Oh, it's so good to be here. I have missed being here in this place. The light, the smell, the feel of the place and the community that gathers here and everything that they mean to me. I miss live music and singing together, sharing joys and concerns, having Sunday school and Bible studies face to face, saying hello and seeing each other in person. I can't wait till we can come back to church." Back in May and June, while we were finishing up a challenging program year online and preparing for our summer sabbatical, many of us were feeling hopeful that we would be back in the pews and in this building in September, thanks to the availability of vaccines and declining COVID infections. I returned to the office this week, however, to a very unwelcome sense of deja vu. With the Delta variant on the loose, COVID rates climbing, restrictions and mask requirements returning. Just like most of last year, my week was filled with meetings and conversations about where the pandemic situation stands now and what the recommendations are for gathering and singing and sanitizing and eating, etc. Not quite the hopeful homecoming I was hoping for. In fact, it was hard not to feel discouraged, like nothing had really changed that much from all the ups and downs of the past year and a half. Humanitarian crises rage in Afghanistan and Haiti. Wildfires, earthquakes, droughts, and hurricanes are still wreaking havoc around the country and the world. Partisan, polarizing voices are still getting too much airtime in the media, the halls of power, and even local school board meetings, while so many still struggle just to get the basic necessities like a vaccine, or groceries, or education, or healthcare. Now the Delta variant is raging, COVID infections are climbing, ICUs are full, some schools and healthcare facilities are back in quarantine and lockdown. People are buying more masks, postponing parties, and rearranging their schedules yet again. When will we be able to go back to school, to work, to church, to life before the pandemic? When will we get back to some semblance of normal? When will we ever feel at home again in the world around us? We may be homeward bound, but it sure is taking longer than I expected to get there. Perhaps this is why I found our scripture lesson this morning, our second scripture lesson this morning, so helpful. Both Psalm 84 and our passage from Ephesians 6 are lectionary passages for today. And although I don't always preach from the lectionary, I was grateful for its direction this week, my first one back from vacation. In fact, it reminded me of how we started many a day on our vacation out west. In planning for our big Wild West adventure, I knew that we would likely meet up with a lot of other tourists visiting national parks, since it was a fairly COVID-safe vacation plan. What I didn't realize was that this was also monsoon season in the desert southwest. In order to beat both the crowds and the thunderstorms that came rolling in by 2 or 3 most afternoons, we had to hit the trails first thing in the morning. So many days we were up at the crack of dawn, eating a hearty breakfast and packing up all the gear that we would need for the day. One morning, as I roused the reluctant risers, I found myself channeling NCIS Special Agent Leroy Jethro Gibbs. "Gear up," I shouted. "It's time to get moving." On the TV show, Gibbs meant for his team of agents to grab their bags of forensic equipment and head out to a crime scene. But I was referring to all of the backpacks, hiking poles, sunscreen, water bottles, hats, and snacks that we would need to tackle the 3 to 8 miles of hiking in desert conditions with temperatures heading towards the 100s. In our scripture lesson today, Paul is issuing a similar wake-up call to the Ephesians and directing them to gear up for their challenging circumstances. Now, this passage from Ephesians has not always set well with me. Back in high school and college, when I was questioning my faith and whether or not I really wanted to be a Christian, this was one of those militaristic passages that was pushing me out of the church. Although I'm still not much of an onward Christian soldiers kind of gal, I have come to appreciate Paul's words to the Ephesians in this passage. Paul understood that all of us at different times face challenging circumstances in our lives. Sometimes they are the result of our own actions or bad choices, but other times there are forces at work around us that are beyond our control and often not for our good. Whether it was Roman imperialism and persecution, as in Paul's day, or natural disasters, pandemics, and warfare in our own, or the ever-present human tendency toward selfishness, deception, greed, power, violence, injustice, and oppression that we see raging throughout all of history, we are all called to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand firm against rulers, authorities, powers, and principalities that are not in line with God's vision of abundant life, justice, and peace for all of God's creation. We Presbyterians get a little squeamish talking about the devil, but that doesn't mean that we aren't aware of what Paul calls the cosmic powers of this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is why Paul instructs us to gear up, to gather the resources we need to stand strong and to carry on, to protect ourselves from discouragement and despair, and to persevere on the journey of faith and life. One preacher likened Paul's imagery in this passage to PPE, personal protective equipment, just like that worn by our healthcare and rescue workers today. Put on the whole PPE of God, Paul might have said to us today. And for those of us who are bothered by the imagery of a soldier and armor and weapons of war, it's important to note that Paul is telling us to dress in protective gear to defend ourselves, not to launch a preemptive attack. Every piece of Paul's armor or PPE is for defensive purposes, with the possible exception of the sword, which in Paul's thinking is not a real sword, but actually the Word of God, the good news of the gospel, meant to bring life and love and hope and peace. So what is Paul's PPE made of? Truth. The truth of God's love for us and for all creation in Jesus Christ. It's made of righteousness, living in right relationship with God, one another, and this world God loves. It's full of faith, trusting in the source, savior, and sustainer of our lives, even when the way ahead is uncertain or full of doubt. The PPE is salvation, knowing that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The PPE is made by the Holy Spirit, God's very presence with us and around us. It's full of the living Word of God, which brings good news of light and love and life to people. And finally, Paul's PPE includes whatever footwear helps you carry the gospel of peace wherever you go. This armor, this PPE, this gear includes everything we need, not just to survive, but to keep moving forward on our journey, our pilgrimage of faith and life, to keep heading in the direction of home, running the race, hiking the trail, climbing the mountain to God's house. In fact, the good news is that this armor, this PPE, this gear will help us be at home with God, no matter where life takes us, and especially when we can't be in God's house together. Today and in the coming weeks, as our summer sabbatical season winds down and we face the continuing uncertainties of the fall, gear up. Clothe yourselves with a hat made of hope and a water bottle full of faith, a backpack filled with the Word of God and the truth that God is always with us no matter where we are. Gear up with comfortable shoes for sharing the gospel of God's justice and peace. We gear up, trusting that when we put God at the center of our lives, the Spirit will lead us through the ups and downs, the questions and uncertainties will lead us through even a hurricane and show us the way to home, sweet home. Amen.